Hey, church, good morning. It's good that we are here, that God has blessed us with another opportunity to be together and to worship one another and to worship God for all he has done for us through Jesus Christ. If you're a guest today, thank you for being here. This is a good and special day. Not only did we get a chance to witness two baptisms here at the 10:30 service, but at 8 o'clock, we also had another baptism where a man by the name of Sean Quinn, he gave his life over to Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that. We are praising God for new life in Jesus. And if you hang around after service, there's going to be another baptism. Someone else is going to give their lives over to Jesus Christ. We're going to praise God for that as well. I love those. I love those Sundays when we can just celebrate the people have said yes to Jesus Christ. Let me say thank you to a number of people who helped us out on Thursday night. We hosted our fifth screen on the green. It's where we have a movie. We show a movie out on the lawn, and we have a cookout. We invite our neighbors, people who live in and around this campus, and we had a lot of people. It was our biggest one yet. And so there were somewhere between, let's say 300 and 1,000. Let's say that. Okay. And so the number is somewhere in there. But it was a lot of folks. We had a great, great time. Thank you to everyone who lended your hands and lended your hearts to serve our community in that way. Our next one is coming up in July. It's July the 23rd. If you want to make plans to join us, I always can't tell you the name of the movie. I'm bound. I can't do that. The law won't allow. But it's a movie. If you had to train a mythical creature that flew, and it was the live-action version of that particular training, that's the movie that we are going to show on July 23rd. Let me say welcome to Boulevard Online, those who are watching us somewhere around the world, whether you are in Alabama or Asia, whether you are in Arizona or Africa, thank you for being a part of our church family this morning. We are continuing with a series called Origin Story. We are journeying in the book of Genesis. And so if you have a Bible, grab it, open it up to Genesis 33. That's where we're going to be today. Genesis chapter number 33. We are going to revisit the man Jacob. We're going to build upon what we talked about last week and how Jacob was given a new name. I'll share that with you. I'll give you a recap. But then we will look at how he moves forward in this new identity. It's going to call him to do something different. It's going to call him to walk away from the old one and walk into the new one. Same way that we have been given a new identity through Jesus Christ, we're constantly called to walk away, to put away those things, and to walk toward a brand new identity. Reminds me of a story. I'm going to take you back in history to the time of 458 BC, to the Roman Republic. Before Rome was known as this worldwide empire, it was a republic. And in 458 BC, it was facing a crisis for its very existence. A large surrounding army had come around Rome, threatening its existence, threatening to annihilate the city of Rome. In these times of crisis, they had built into their law that the Roman Senate could elect a man to serve as what was called a dictator. Before that was a negative connotation, it was a legal role that someone could play. It helped to provide stability for a nation. It helped to provide guidance and leadership for the nation. And the Roman Senate elected to get a dictator, and the dictator that they had in mind was a man by the name of Lucius Cincinnatus. Lucius Cincinnatus, though, had enough of politics in Rome. He had walked away from that life years ago. He had been burned by it and decided to walk away and simplify his life and plow a field on his farm, which is where they found him. When they came to him and told Cincinnatus the problem, they wrapped the red dictatorial robes around him, and they gave him total authority over the military, over the laws, over the people. The future of Rome lay in the hands of Cincinnatus. And he did what they thought he would do. He, after 15 days, raised an army, approached the enemy, defeated them, saved Rome. In this period of time, he had at his fingertips to be able to stay in this role for up to 6 months. He could have enriched himself. He could have made himself a dictator for life, but he didn't do it. The reason this story has survived history is not because Cincinnatus was so great. It's because he did something that most people would not do. With all the power in his hands, he gave it up. He resigned his position. He took off his red dictatorial robes. He walked out of the Capitol. He walked back home and began plowing his field again. See, he really had enough. Enough of the old life. He wanted to walk back into the new life that he was building for himself. So he decided to simply walk away. Jacob, in the text today, he is being called out of an old life, a life that he has grown tired of. And he's going to leave it behind and walk into a brand new life. It's what we have to learn to do, because it doesn't come naturally for us. When we consider the new identity that we have been given in Christ, I told you last week that Jesus died to give us a new identity. He didn't just die to give us salvation, although he did. He didn't just die to give us eternal life, although he did. He didn't just die to give us a relationship with God, although he did all of that. But he also died to give us a brand new identity. See, you're not just who you are, what the name is on your birth certificate or on your driver's license. As we sang in that song, you were made for more than that. You were made for more than the old life that you used to live. You were made for more than sinning. And now the Lord has given you a brand new identity. You're no longer sinner, but now you are saint. You're no longer a citizen of wherever you might live, a citizen of Tennessee, but you're also a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that's because of Jesus. But we struggle, if we're being honest with ourselves. You struggle with living out this brand new identity. We struggle with living as Christians, struggle as living as children of God, citizens of the kingdom. We struggle with it, but you're still called out of the old way and called into the new way. See, I want to show you today that to own your brand new identity in Jesus, you've got to learn. And let me highlight that word learn. Learn to walk away from the old one. Thankfully, we don't have to make up how to be successful at this. Thankfully, the Word of God has already shown us how to walk away. You're going to see it in the life of Jacob, but you're not just going to see it through the life of Jacob. I want you to see your life in Jacob's life. I want you to see how you can do what Jacob did. We're going to call this lesson Walk Away, from Genesis 33, 1 through 20. We're going to pray that God would bless our time in the Word of God this morning, that he would transform us, that he would show us how to walk away from that new life, that he would give us the strength, the power, the desire, the ability to do just that. So pray with me, please, church. Lord, thank you for showing us and giving us example after example in your holy word of how to live our lives. Father, we're thankful for Jesus and the example that he has set, but we're thankful that he has given us a brand new identity. Lord, through studying the word today, show us the way. Show us how to leave behind the old life that we're called out of and walk into the new life that we're called toward. Father, show us that. Father, allow our time in this word to be blessed and allow how we live after encountering your word today to bring you glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Before we dive into the text, church, let me take you into the context. Unless I do that, the text really won't make sense. It'll call on me to repeat some of the things that I shared with you last week, but we'll continue to build on those things. So we're jumping back into a text where we're meeting this man again by the name of Jacob. Jacob is an important figure within the entirety of the Bible. He is the grandson of Abraham. He himself is a patriarch of the nation of ancient Israel himself. But he is a man whose name reflects his identity. For the name Jacob means grasper. It means cheater, one who cheats. A name given to him as he and his twin brother were coming out of their mother Rebekah's womb. Esau, his twin brother, was exiting the womb first, but Jacob, he grabbed a hold to Esau's heel, almost to pull him back in so he could exit the birth canal first. So his mother understood what had happened and named him Grasper, one who grasps, or one who cheats. Throughout his life, Jacob lived up to his name, cheating and conniving and tricking folks out of what belonged to them. The chief aim of his deceit was his twin brother, Esau. He stole Esau's firstborn birthright, and he stole his blessing, a blessing that their father Isaac had reserved for him. A blessing that we read about in Genesis 27, 28, and 29. May God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you. Nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. This blessing was supposed to be Esau's blessing. But Jacob, he connived with his mother, and they stole this blessing away. As a result, Esau felt a certain type of way with his brother, or about his brother. Genesis 27 tells us exactly how he felt. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And then he made a vow to himself. What was the vow? The vow was this: the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Isaac, their father, was going to eventually die. And then he said, when he dies, I'm going to kill my brother. But where we meet Jacob in the text, 20 years has passed since then. Jacob has left home because he found out about that vow. He's married to a number of women. He has children. He has many possessions, a lot of livestock. God has blessed him, and he has started to have encounters with God. Such an encounter with God led to God telling Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I am going to be with you. In other words, Jacob, it's time for you to go home. But I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Jacob is going to obey this. But in order to obey it, he has to encounter his brother Esau. He's going to be in the same general vicinity, in close proximity to Esau, the same Esau he cheated The same Esau who said, I am going to kill my brother Jacob. But remember, God is saying, I am going to be with you. He's still sending him back, but he wants to send him back differently than he had been before. So it leads us to where we were last week when Jacob had that wrestling match with the angel who represented God. And that angel asked him his name, a name that would cause him to, a question that would cause him to confess who he had been. Remember, Jacob means cheater. So if he says, what is your name? He says, I am Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a deceiver. I'm a trickster. I am a selfish man. But then the angel, speaking on behalf of God, said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your identity. No longer are you going to be Jacob, but you're going to be known as Israel. A name that means God strives or God fights. Because I'm calling you to something different. You have been fighting against me, but now I am going to fight for you. You're going to have to deal with your brother, but remember, I am with you. I fight for you. You've got to leave, though, that old identity and walk into the brand new one. There's a new claim on his life, just like there's a claim on your life. There's a new identity been given to him. There's a new identity that's been given to you. But the claim of a new identity, church, remember this, means nothing without a commitment to it. So his name can be Israel all he wants. His name can be changed. His identity can be switched. But unless he commits to it, it will not matter. You can be known as a child of God. You can be known as a Christian. You can be known as a follower of Jesus Christ in identity. But if you're not committed to it, it won't even matter. So let's, for the next number of minutes, figure out how we leave the old and walk into the new. Let's discover how to walk away from one and walk into another. That's the context. Let's see the text. Let me lead you to Genesis 33. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Here's what we see. Jacob lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided his children among Leah and Rachel, his two wives, and the two female servants. He put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. Jacob is moved into the area that's in close proximity to his brother Esau, and he's heard that Esau's coming, but he's not coming by himself. He's coming with 400 men. Can you imagine what Jacob is thinking? He remembers the vow. He said, he's going to kill me. And he's coming with 400 men. Maybe he's coming to take care of what he says. And so he decides, I'm going to insulate my family from a potential attack. Now, his family situation is complicated. Jacob has 12 children at this time. 11 boys, one girl. And he has these 12 children by four different women. Now, let me tell you about the four different women. Two of the women are his wives. One wife he really loves. The other wife he was tricked into marrying, so he loves her less. And these two wives happen to be sisters. But he also has children by surrogate servants. And did I mention that all of them live together? See, you thought your life was complicated. You thought there was drama in your life. I can only imagine the type of drama in this dysfunction, but this is dysfunction that comes from his old identity. See, sometimes we have baggage that comes with our old identity. Our old identity produced fruit. And this is the fruit of his old identity. And what you see him doing when he hears that Esau is coming is really an action out of old Jacob. It's not new Israel. Because here's what he does. I hear my brother's coming. I think he's coming to kill me. So I'm going to put up front the first folks that he's going to meet are the surrogate servants and their children. They belong to Jacob, but I'm putting the servants up front. If he is attacking, those are the ones he's going to get first. And then in the middle, I'm going to put that wife that I was tricked into marrying, Leah. I'm going to put her there. And then all the way in the back is the wife that I really love with the son of my old age, someone that you're going to hear about in the future, a son by the name of Joseph. I'm putting them at the back. Now, you don't agree with how he sets that up. And I don't agree with how he sets that up. But he sets them up that way. Why? Because he's living out of the identity of old Jacob. Just like, see, from time to time, though my name is Kelvin and though I've been given a new identity as Christian, from time to time I act like old Kelvin and not new Christian. And I can say that because you do the same thing. Though your identity has been changed, we act according to our old lifestyle from time to time. Even though you've been given a new identity, you might occasionally live according to the old one. Because that's the way change happens. Change doesn't happen all at once. It's a process. We got to be gracious with ourselves about the process. Sometimes we expect too much out of ourselves, and when we fail, we just give up because you expected too much. You didn't understand that change, transformation is a process. It's not a magic trick. It's not a magic trick for Jacob. It's a process. But there are seeds here that show us that he is trying to take steps forward to the brand new identity. Here are the seeds, or here is the seed. Look at verse number 3, part A of verse number 3. He himself went on before them. See, now that's something that old Jacob likely would not have done. He put the servants up front, but he said, I'm going to go, if anyone attacks anyone, they're going to get me first. Old Jacob likely would have done what a coward would have done in that time of antiquity. He would have hidden himself behind Rachel and Joseph. You're going to get all of them before you get to me. But he's saying, no, I am changing. It's a process. But then he does the very thing that will help us walk away from the old life. There's two things he's going to show you that we have to learn to do if we're going to walk away from the old life. The first one is repent. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at part B of verse number 33. It says, he went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. So he sees Esau coming. And what he does, he doesn't run the other way. He walks toward his brother. But he bows down before him once. And maybe he walks along and they meet eyes again down the road and he bows down a second time. And then maybe he's walking on further and he sees Esau and Esau sees him. So he bows down a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh time. Why is that important? Because it is there to show us that what Jacob is doing is not ceremonial. This isn't pretense. What he's doing, he's not trying to trick his brother. The number 7 often shows up in the Bible as meaning or representing perfection or completeness. He is showing a complete change of heart in this moment. It's big because of the blessing that he stole. Remember what the blessing said. The blessing said, let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. This is his mother's son. He represents a nation. And he is bowing down, not once, bowing down, not twice, but seven times before his brother. He can't undo what happened 20 years ago. But this is his opportunity to make it right. He is showing you a change of heart. He's showing you he's walking away from the old life. This isn't ceremony, this is repentance. To repent means to have a change of heart. It means to turn around. It means to walk away. You're witnessing Jacob's transformation. You're witnessing his desire to walk away. New identities, church, they're shaped through repentance. They're shaped through you saying, never again, no more, I'm changing. I'm turning away from that old life, and I'm walking away from it, and I'm walking toward the life that the Lord has called me toward. New identities are shaped through repentance, but they're also shaped by one more thing. They're shaped by realizing that God has given you enough, enough to walk away. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 4. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." If you're underline that word graciously. Then the servants drew near and their children and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand, for I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt," another time to underline, "graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Think about it, church. Jacob's life has been spent trying to get more and more. And he's done whatever it has taken to get more and more. He has lived up to his name. He has cheated to get more. He's lied to get more. He's tricked his brother in order to get more. But here, what you're reading about this Jacob isn't old Jacob. It's brand new Israel. He realizes, "I don't need anything else. I already have enough." These children that he pushes forward and says, "These children that I have, they've been given to me graciously by God. I have enough." He sent him a gift of livestock and that Esau questioned. And he says, "I've sent it to you because I've realized God has given me all of that. I have enough." He's had an encounter with God and survived to tell about it. He realizes that God's presence in his life is enough. See, when he realized that he had all that he needed, he no longer needed to be anything else. You don't have to be anything else when you don't need anything else. When you're growing up, and even sometimes we struggle with this as adults, we think we need approval from others. And so we'll do some things in order to get approval, even if it means we're living outside of who we're called to be, all because we want that. Because we want more money and we want more income, or we want more notoriety. Sometimes we might change who we're called to be in order to achieve that. But when you realize that you have everything you need, you're free to be who God called you to be. Yes. There's great freedom in that, church. But we've got to realize that what God has given is enough. Jacob realizes it. And now he's going to be free to move to the blessings of the brand new identity. Because when you walk away from the old, you move toward the blessings of the new. Well, what are the blessings that Jacob is walking to? He's walking toward the blessing of reconciliation with his brother. See how the text puts it in verse number 12. Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." It is in Esau's mind now not to kill Jacob, but to live with Jacob. And all of that came from Jacob's posture of repentance and his realization that he had enough, being able to offer to his brother gifts. Now, the biblical narrative doesn't suggest that they lived together, but it wasn't because they didn't get along. It's because God had blessed them with so much. In Genesis 36 and verse number 7, their possessions were too great for them to dwell together. The land of their sojournings could not support them because of their livestock. But it wasn't the only blessing that Jacob was walking toward in his new identity. He walked towards reconciliation, but he also walked toward rest. After he leaves and departs from his brother, verse 17 says, "Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built for himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, he called the name of the place Succoth. He stayed there a while, rested there, and then he came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, where God was calling him toward. On his way from Paddan Aram, and he camped before the city." And here's what he does. "And from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of money a piece of land which he had pitched his tent, and there he erected an altar and called it El Elohe Israel," a name that means God, the God of Israel. He's able to rest because he doesn't have to look over his shoulder anymore. He's able to rest because he no longer has to pay the debt for bad living. All of that's been settled. He's embraced his new identity. And he gets back to his father's land and he erects an altar. And he calls the altar El Elohe Israel, the God of Israel. His name is Israel. So he's making the claim that this is my God. He's fixing to the ground, "This is now my identity. I accept it. I own it. I've repented of my old way. I have realized God has given me everything for the new way. And I walk into the land and I stake a claim that I am who God has now called me to be." Amen. And that's where the text ends. But remember what I told you at the very beginning. The text isn't just about Jacob. It's about you. It's about you owning your identity. An identity that says that you are in Christ, you're now a new creation, the old has passed away, the old identity is gone, the new has come. It's there. But you've got to walk into it, and you've got to claim it for yourself. But like Jacob, the claim means nothing without the commitment. So are we going to commit to the new identity? If you say yes, let me show you how. The how is wrapped around what Jacob has just shown you. It starts with you saying, "I walk away from the old life. I turn away from my old habits. I walk away from my old ways and my old hang-ups. I repent." Jesus has called us to do these things, not just give you this new life, but call you to repentance. He's come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's calling you now, turn away, walk away, walk away from that old lifestyle. It dominated Jesus' ministry. It dominated the ministry of the Apostle Paul, who said in Acts 26 and verse number 20, speaking of his ministry, he declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. Turn away, walk away, turn to God, and then perform deeds in keeping with their repentance. Commit to the identity that you've been called to. Jesus gives us a new identity, but he commands that we walk away from the old one. How do I walk away? How do I walk into the new? I walk into the new when I realize that God has given me everything I need to walk into that brand new one. Jesus has given us everything we need to walk away from the old identity. Yes, he died on the cross to give it to us, but he's also given us some things along the way to help us walk toward the new. In times of weakness, when it's really hard to walk into the new identity, what do? I rely on what Jesus has already given. What has he given? He's given you his grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. When I feel like I'm all by myself and trying to walk away from the old into the new, what has he given me so that I might understand that I can keep on going? He's given me his presence. Like the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus is that good shepherd, and he's still providing everything you need. When I need some more power in my life, how do I keep walking forward? I remember the power that he has given. Peter says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us into his own glory and excellence. He has not only given you his presence, he's given you his power, he's given you his grace. What does that mean? It means that you can walk away. When you walk away from the old identity, like Jacob, we also walk toward the blessings of the new one. What are the blessings? Same blessings. Reconciliation and rest. Let me tell you about your old life. Your old life is wrapped in this verse. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Jacob found reconciliation with his brother. You find reconciliation with your father through the death of Jesus. But it's much more. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. You know what's also inferred there? The blessing of rest. You don't have to strive for your salvation. It's been given because of Jesus. And now, because of all of that, because of our relationship with our Father, we can rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus. The way Jacob built an altar and called it God, the God of Israel. Now we can build a fixture in the ground that says, he is our God. He's my God. And that's you. That's your life. Your life becomes your altar. Your life becomes the instrument through which you rejoice and give praise to God. Your life becomes the instrument which you say to the world, I belong to him and he is my Father. Your life is the instrument that says, I own my new identity. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that he has not only given us a new identity, but he's given us the means to move into it. Like he gave Jacob all of those things, he's given those things to us, his grace, his presence, his power. And now you can walk into it. But you've got to walk away from the old one. If there's something I want you to remember, it's this. To walk into the new identity, you've got to walk away from the old one. And you can walk away. And that's what I want you to obey. Walk away. You might say, well, how do I do it? You do it the same way Jacob did it. You repent and you realize. You walk away and realize he's given you everything you need in order to do it. You can walk into that new identity that he has for you. Let's do that. Let's stand and sing.